be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed the child in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that there are angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? Amen, if he finds it, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 who didn't stray. In the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The disciples approach Jesus in today's Gospel and ask him a question: who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were already guaranteed in. And they wanted to figure out exactly where they were going to be on the pecking order. Jesus had just recently pronounced Simon's name rock. Does that mean he's going to be it? Why he? Etc., etc. And after that question, Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, swearing an oath, unless you turn and become like children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven." They were going in the wrong direction, in other words. They weren't even entering, not to mention being in a conversation about the greatest. They weren't going to make it at all unless they turned, unless they converted, and precisely became like little children. Little children aren't ambitious in that way. They're filled with a tremendous wonder. They're filled with a tremendous trust, a receptivity, a hunger. They're not worried about the big type of ambitions that so many times their parents or their much older brothers and sisters will be consumed by. It's a question for us. As we get older, are we becoming more spiritually childlike? You know, I talk about it a lot, but it's true. That saying, "You can't teach old dogs new tricks," comes straight from hell. Straight from hell. Because as we grow older, we're supposed to become more childlike, which means more docile, not less. And so an 80-year-old should be more docile than a 70-year-old, should be more docile than a 5-year-old. Otherwise, we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. St. Therese is our great teacher here about becoming truly like little children. I'm going to return to this in a second. But to be a child needs to be receptive. We know that when you're a young child, the whole world is filled with wonder. Can't wait to learn, want to see how things are. You listen with trust to those who are your teachers, to your parents, to your teachers in school. That's what Jesus is talking about in terms of our relationship with him. That we need to be docile in that way, receptive in that way. We see one way that we're called to be receptive in today's first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord said to him at the beginning, "As for you, son of man, obey me when I speak to you. Be not rebellious like this house of rebellion, but open your mouth and eat what I shall give you." The first way that Ezekiel was going to show himself to be a spiritual child was through his obedience. The Jews thought that they had grown up, that they didn't really need God nearly as much as they once did when they were slaves under Pharaoh in Egypt. And then eventually when things got back to normal and they didn't have that incredible need, their prayer went down, their religious observance went down, and their seeking after the things of this world went up. They started to go on the wrong path, not on the path to the kingdom. So the first thing Ezekiel would need to do would be to obey. But then he was going to have to obey in a very specific way. It was then that I saw a hand stretched out to me, in which there was a written scroll, which he unrolled before me, covered with writing on the front and the back. Now, in the old Jewish scrolls, there was only writing on one side, not on the back. But it was almost as if God wanted to jam in so much stuff that he was taking advantage of whatever parchment he could to teach us what we would need to know. He said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, and then go speak to the house of Israel." It wasn't enough for him to read the scroll. God wanted him to assimilate its contents. Why do we eat? We eat to live. If we don't eat after a certain time, we're going to expire. God wants us to eat His Word, because it's on His Word that we're supposed to live. Later, when Jesus is tempted by the devil, he would quote Moses and say, "Not on bread alone does man live, but on every word jammed on both sides of the scroll that comes from the mouth of God." And so obedient, Ezekiel opened up the scroll, opened up his mouth, and ate the scroll God gave him to eat. And as he ate it, it was sweet as honey in his mouth. And then he was capable of going out to preach that word to others. One of the most important aspects of our receptivity to God as little children is we need really to eat the Word of God. We need to eat God's Word more than we would have 3 squares a day. But most of us as Catholics don't. I've shared with you the surveys in the past that of Sunday Mass going Catholics, already the creme de la creme across the Catholic world, only 3% have any contact with the Word of God throughout the whole of the rest of the week. That should be 100% of Catholics, especially Catholics who take their faith seriously enough to come to church on Sunday. But most Catholics don't. Most Catholics, when they hear about a Bible study, rather than if they don't drive or some other would have some reason why they can't get out on a Wednesday night, rather than calling everybody they know saying, can you take me, will just say, "Not that important that I'm there." We've got to eat the scroll. We've got to eat it at home in our personal prayerful study of the Holy Word of God so that we can become one with that Word of God and truly live. In the responsorial psalm today, which is always a response to the first reading, we prayed something which I want to make sure we mend. "In the ways of your decrees," and all of this is a reflection on the Word of God, the decrees are found in the Word of God. "In the way of your decrees, I rejoice as much as in all the riches of the world. Yes, your decrees are my delight. They are where I get my guidance. The law of your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." So I want to ask you the question. If today, over here, I had a whole gargantuan big pot of gold pieces, and downstairs, Norman was going to be teaching something on the Gospel of St. Matthew, which would you choose? Honestly, which would you choose? If Warren Buffett were going to write you a check for $10 million, if you came to one of his seminars, but Father Nick was going to be doing something on the symbolism of the book of Revelation, and they were at the same time, which would you choose? Do we really mean these words? My sense is most of us don't mean those words. We don't treasure the Word of God that much. We can take it for granted. To become truly childlike, we need to receive that word. At the beginning of this passage, God calls Ezekiel to obey. "Obey me when I speak to you." In Hebrew, as I've mentioned before, there is no distinction in the word to hear and to obey. That if you were really hearing the word of God, you'd be acting on it, you'd be putting into practice, you'd never be an idle listener. But to hear means to obey. And a lot of the times we as Christians just listen to the Word of God without really hearing it, because we're not acting on it. We're not letting it change us 30, 60, or 100 ways, which is what happens when the seed of the Word of God fits on good soil. Today we celebrate a saint who had this type of hearing, this type of spiritual childlike receptivity to God throughout her entire life. St. Jane Frances de Chantal was married to a nobleman at the age of 20. They lived happily for 8 years, in which they had 7 kids. 3 died soon after birth. She raised 4 of them. But her husband was killed in a shooting accident by a friend when she was just 28. She mourned for a long time. But then, with the help of her own father, who told her that she's got an obligation as a mom not to spend the whole rest of her life wailing, she came to her senses. She was shown a vision by the Lord, that the Lord had something that He wanted her to do, and showed her a man who would guide her along that will. She had no idea who that man was. But about a year later, her father invited her to her hometown to hear this celebrated bishop, the Bishop of Geneva, who was coming to preach. His name was St. Francis de Sales. And when she went there, she recognized that that was the very man she had seen in that vision the Lord had given her, dressed exactly as she had seen him dressed in that vision. So she asked him to be her spiritual director, and eventually, as she started to discover that the Lord wanted her to receive as a child the vocation to become a spiritual mother to the visitation nuns throughout the history of the rest of the world, she accepted that charge. She opened up her nunneries, those monasteries all across the world, where that receptivity toward the Word of God continues, where the Word of God is treated by these women far more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. One of the things I've always loved about the Visitation Sisters, and have been asked in several occasions to go preach triduums for them or Days of Recollection and the like, is that they are really open to God's will in a way many other religious communities are not. What's a huge scandal for me, and you know that I do a lot of work with women religious, is many of these great communities have age limits. If you're over 30, you're not welcome here. If you're over 35, you're not welcome here. That God wouldn't possibly call somebody who's 35 and a half to become a member of your community. It's ridiculous. The Visitation Nuns, because of their foundress, who was called later on in life to this, have always been open to these late vocations. And many of them have been outstanding. They've also been open to the vocations that other communities wouldn't take for one reason or another, because the sister was too sickly. And so they didn't want her to spend her whole life in the infirmary, like Saint Bernadette, our patroness. And one of the sisters, of course, who was accepted, who might not have been accepted in other communities, was a young woman named Margaret Mary Alacoque, who was the one chosen by the Lord to receive the vision of His Sacred Heart, His true mercy, calling us to give Him all we can here in the sacrament of His love of the Eucharist. Unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Today we ask for that gift of real conversion, turning away from our adult attitudes which aren't integrated in our faith, returning to that receptivity we had when we were learning the faith initially from our moms or our grandmothers or our catechists or our Catholic school teachers, so that we might in turn flip, receive the Word of God with great zeal, receive the Word made flesh with even greater zeal, and then go out to receive little children in Christ's name with the love with which He calls us to, because He is interested, as He tells us in today's Gospel, in 100 out of 100. Every single person we meet today, He wants to use us to help, to save, by helping them turn and follow us on this road of conversion all the way to the kingdom of heaven. which, if we are spiritually childlike, we will receive as a treasure far more valuable than all the gold and silver pieces in the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.